Hello, welcome to developing 2D and 3D games with Unity for Windows. I'm here with my good friend, Dave Oils, and we have an exciting, exciting day planned for you today. We have tons of Unity learning content, how to develop 2D games, 3D games in Unity, bring them on over to Windows. We have such an exciting day. I'm very happy to be here.
Likewise. Thank you for having us.
I'm Adam Tulliper, a technical evangelist with Microsoft. I focus on a whole bunch of different technologies, gaming, cloud technologies, web technologies. I pretty much love everything tech related. So this is going to be exceptional day right here. Been a software architect for many, many years. And David, why don't you tell us about yourself?
So I'm relatively new to Microsoft. I'm also a technical evangelist based out of Philadelphia. Previously, I was at Comcast working on their Xbox applications before joining Microsoft. And now kind of specialize in web development, video games, and the cloud. And a pleasure to be here with Adam this morning, kind of going over all this Unity content with you guys.
Very cool. So today we've got developing, intro and Unity overview, 2D game development, 2D and 3D asset creation, which I'm especially excited for that one because I'm an awful artist.
And we have a special guest coming in for
special guest for that. 3D game development, building for the Windows platform, optimizing your games, ALM, Application Lifecycle Management in Unity. Great session on marketing and monetization, one area where developers need a lot of help.
Yep.
And using Prime 31 to connect your Unity games to Azure. And finally, adding the finishing touches to your game.
Yeah, so we'll have several evangelists coming in and out throughout many of these sessions, as well as some special guests from Unity and some other places too. So you'll kind of have a mixed group of faces throughout the next 2 days.
That's right. You are going to see seven of us off and on the camera through the next 2 days. So it's a really good crowd, really good group of folks that we have here. So again, I can't say enough. Very excited, but I hope you are too. So let's set expectations. Who is this event for? Well, hopefully everybody, but primarily targeted towards beginner and intermediate Unity developers, C# programmers. I would also say aspiring artists
because of the
art sessions we're going to have on there as well.
And fortunately, Unity makes it very easy for artists to get started as well.
Suggested prereqs and supporting material, C# fundamentals for absolute beginners. If you don't have any programming experience, that is on Microsoft Virtual Academy. And one of my favorite sites, digitaltutors.com, who has awesome Unity learning tech content out there. I mean, there is a bunch of great free content out there that's pretty targeted paid content as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They have step-by-step tutorials on how to write an entire project from beginning to end. So highly suggest you go check that out.
And please join the MVA community. We love doing these things for you. Everybody that's here loves doing it for you. There is a ton of great content out there. There are over 2 million registered users now for Microsoft Virtual Academy. And you can get points for each event that you complete. Go to aka.ms/mva-voucher, and there's a special code on there that does expire October 10th, so get on there and check it out.
And all this content will be recorded right now, so if you do happen to miss some of this throughout the day, you can always catch up to it in the next couple of days, as it'll be stored on our site later on.
Now, Dave, the fact that we love gaming,
yes,
and we work for Microsoft, I think this next slide shows something that's very cool. Every time these announcements come out, I actually get pretty excited about this.
I don't know about you, but that's why I came on board. I was largely to work with independent gamers at Microsoft.
That's right. So let's go down the list of some investments that Microsoft has made here. Prime 31 is a leading plugin writer for Unity. There's a year free for Prime 31 plugins for Microsoft. If you go to their website, go to the Microsoft section, you'll find, rather than prices, and a lot of them are typically like $75 or so, you can download them for free there for a year. Secondly, and this one was extra, extra cool, Microsoft acquired Syntax Tree. If you've ever heard of Unity VS, that enables you to use Visual Studio to develop and debug your Unity code. Previously, you could only use it to as a code editor. This plugin allows you to also debug with it. And that was about a $100 product. Microsoft bought the company, turned around, added some additions to it, and those folks came on board here, and now they release it for free.
Yeah, absolutely. So typically, developers will often start writing code with MonoDevelop, which is packaged for free with Unity. But Visual Studio does tend to cost a bit of money, so why don't you tell them a bit about BizSpark and then how we can get many of the developers we work with free versions of Visual Studio.
BizSpark, great program for startups. If you are forming your own little game company, to me, you are a startup. The criteria are typically that your company, not you, are less than 5 years old, less than $1 million in annual revenue, that you are a privately held company and working on a software product as a core part of your business, not just consulting, for example, go to bizspark.com or contact your local evangelist, and we can help you out with that locally as a resource as well. That gives you free Visual Studios, Windows, $150 a month credit to Azure for virtual machines, websites, and up to, I think, 7 users on an account get that as well.
Yes.
And we partner with Unity to provide various offers. So right now on Unity site, pages/windows/offer, there's a really cool offer going on that gives you a, you can get a free device, you can get free Windows licenses. The current offer right now gives you, I think, a $100 voucher to Unity's asset store. So check out that site. There's always new stuff coming up on there. Check often. So this session, we're going to be doing intro and architecture of Unity. In this module, it's going to be a basic intro and the interface. We're going to talk about game objects and components, essential parts inside of Unity, prefabs and packages, and
the architecture of Unity, the application itself, and quite a bit about how to architect your games as well, best practices, I suppose.
Architecture is, coming from a software development world, yes. Architecture is a very important subject. I think it's real important to understand how Unity works, its various components, how it kind of fits together. And that's what we'll be talking there, the coding model on there.
Absolutely.
It is kind of unique. Coming from an enterprise software background,
yes,
and going to game development, at first I had absolutely no idea where to start.
Right, you have to understand the draw loop, the update loop, how that all ties together, Unity's component system.
I'd heard of a game loop.
Yep.
But when it came down to it, I didn't know how to write one for Unity. And so we're going to show you some of that today. And hopefully this will all kind of make sense and add up. Yeah. What do you think about the code model in there?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
What do you think about the code model in Unity?
I actually enjoy it quite a bit. I like the fact that they give developers the opportunity to go with either C# or JavaScript, their own type-safe JavaScript.
Don't forget Boo. Nobody uses Boo, but you can't
that is true.
Mention Boo.
Boo does absolutely exist. I don't know how people are using it at this point.
I've never met a person yet. I've literally talked to thousands of Unity developers.
And I've used this for about 3 or 4 years now. I have not run into anyone yet either. How about you? Do you prefer one language over the other?
C#, by the way. And interesting enough, coming from a web development background, yes. And I love JavaScript.
Same with me.
But also, I like... C# is more strongly typed on the Unity side,
yes.
So you can get away with less, which is good from an architectural standpoint as well.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's start talking about the intro and interface to Unity. Unity is, let's talk about what it is and what Unity is not.
Sure.
Unity is a game engine, but more importantly to me, it's also an ecosystem. I mean, there's tons of game engines out there, some very good game engines out there. Some work in the web browser, some work across a console. What matters to me is the ecosystem. We're going to talk about the Unity Asset Store in a little bit and how that kind of fits into this. Unity supports more platforms than any other publicly available tool that I could find. And we deal, being with Microsoft, many cross-platform products.
Yeah, middleware is our friend.
Yep. Xamarin, I mean, even if you go to Azure Mobile Services, they will generate the code for you on our own website to run things on iOS, Android, websites, etc. So that being said, there's really great multi-platform support built into Unity.
Absolutely.
It's used by hobbyists, students, professional developers, major studios.
Yeah.
So this is for everybody. I've had folks mention to me, I'm writing my first game. Is Unity the right tool for me? Yes, it is absolutely.
And so, it does hit like that broad spectrum of things.
Everybody.
One of the few tools, like you say, that really can hit just about everything.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about what Unity is not.
Okay.
And I hesitate to say what it's not because Unity is always kind of adding new things on there. They're acquiring other companies and adding their capabilities into the core products, making it better and better. So Unity is not, though, as it stands today, a 2D image or vector graphic creation tool. In other words, think of like Photoshop, GIMP, Paint.net. You're not going to go into Unity and start drawing out a sprite.
Right.
Matt is going to show you later on today how you can do that. Unity is also not, and I put a big asterisk after this, it is not a 3D modeling environment. There are some very powerful 3D tools out there. There are free tools like Blender, pay tools like Autodesk Maya, 3D Studio Max, there's Cheetah 3D, there's a whole bunch of them out there. But Unity does not have built-in a modeling environment. It does have a terrain system built-in.
Yes.
So that is modeling in a sense. You can build out your terrains. I did that about a year ago here for a Virtual Academy session. But it does support many third-party plugins because of that ecosystem.
Huge selling point for that system or this platform, because very, very few can even offer that at this point.
Yeah, huge. If this was small, this is huge.
Yeah. And I mean, extensibility is another large key feature for this, because if there's something you don't enjoy about the engine, often you can write that yourself, extend it, and if it's of high enough quality, you can even sell it and make quite a living off that in an asset store.
There are some folks that I believe have made over $1 million off of Unity's asset store, so keep that in mind. You can sell your own assets on there, 3D assets. Well, we'll look at the asset store shortly.
Sure.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the asset store is amazing. But in the asset store, speaking of 3D modeling, you can get ProBuilder. There's other plugins as well. ProBuilder is one that I know because Matt uses that.
Yep.
And that allows you to do some rudimentary 3D modeling inside of Unity. So that's why the big asterisk follows that.
Right.
All right, so features and capabilities of Unity. What can it provide you? What can it provide me and all of you attending today? AAA game quality. It is a good engine for your game. Unity provides an editor, which is what you work in, and that gives you the ability to do level assembly, where you can kind of drag and drop, assemble everything in there.
Right.
But more importantly to me, it gives you an in-editor gameplay experience. So you can develop, click play, run your game. Develop, click play, run your game. You don't have to do these separate builds and export, which really makes your workflow fast.
Or even the ability to drag and drop assets into a scene live is a huge selling
point. Yes. Physics. We'll talk about the physics engines in a little bit. Programming with C#, JavaScript, Boo.
Yep.
One day I won't mention Boo anymore, but I still feel like I need to for some reason. 2D and 3D support. So Unity was always a 3D tool to start, and they didn't have built-in 2D support until a couple versions ago. They had various plugins in the asset store to allow you to do that. And now they have added some pretty cool 2D support built in.
Yeah, so, as of November of 2013, that's when they finally added those 2D tools, along with many assets and pre-built scenes that developers can actually use and engage with.
Free stuff you can download and check out and kickstart your 2D game. Audio. 2D audio, 3D audio.
Yep.
You hear a gunshot in the distance over there. You can hear from your right-hand side, gunshot over there, left-hand side. Backing tracks, it supports a bunch of different audio formats. Very powerful audio there. And particle effects, one of my favorite things.
Absolutely. Shuriken's a beautiful thing to work with.
If you want, you being you, because you're on the East Coast, if you want snow, for me, I live in California, so smoke, fires, earthquakes, right?
Right.
You can generate all of that through particle effects. You can generate little ghosts coming out of the ground. You can do snow, rain, all sorts of amazing things. We'll look at particle effects very briefly in this as well. And the animation system, two animation systems, the legacy animation system and Mechanim, which allows you to do so many cool things. Previously, maybe if you had a character shooting a gun, you had a character running. If you wanted to merge the two, well, you needed a separate animation of a shooting running character.
Right.
And now with Unity, it will actually blend those on the fly. You can say, hey, from the waist down, I want you to do these animations, which is running, and then from the waist up, I want you to do whatever other animations I apply to it. So an amazing system called Mechanim there. Now the asset store, nearly everything that you need for your game. Complete projects, 3D models. We'll explore the interface real quick in the asset store shortly. It is absolutely amazing what you can find there.
Makes you wonder how we got by before.
I know. Well, I didn't develop games before.
Oh, well, there you go.
I didn't get by. All right, so let's go right into talking about the environment in Unity. It's all about the scene. And we're going to explore the scene in the interface shortly. Let's just talk about a scene first. Think of a scene as a level in your game.
Okay.
If you have multiple levels, you'll have multiple scenes. And your game is going to be a collection of one to many scenes.
Okay.
Make sense so far?
Absolutely, I'm with you.
Scenes are what's included in your build. In other words, when you provide a game to someone, it's because you have various scenes that have been compiled and packaged up into that build.
Now, do I have to include every scene that I'm building or working on for my game?
Great question. You do not. So one of the games we're working on right now, I think we have 38 scenes or something in there.
Holy cow.
And there's, I think, three gameplay scenes. The rest are all different test scenes and controller test scenes, weapon test scenes, everything like that.
Okay, so it makes it kind of pretty easy to test and debug as I'm moving along.
Absolutely.
And I take the best of each project.
Absolutely. You can have many test scenes, not in a final
build. Oh, well, there we go.
Good question. So I can't say this enough. Remember this icon.
Okay.
This icon is the all-important icon, because to folks that are new with Unity, if you close Unity and you go back and you open it, you might not see what you were just working on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's because a lot of times you have to go find your scene and open it. You didn't lose your work. You just have to go find the scene, provided that you saved your work.
Yep.
Find a scene. All right, let's open up Unity and talk about the interface here. The first time you're going to open Unity, you will see this lovely dialog box here.
Now it looks like you're creating a new test project.
Call that new Unity project. All of this right here, you might want to do this to start. I know I wanted to do that because I didn't know what any of these meant the first time I opened up Unity.
Right.
These are all various packages, pre-packaged components that Unity and other folks provide that you can bring into Unity. If I want a guy to run around in my world, I can bring in a character controller package. If I want a sky on my level, I could bring in a skybox package.
Beautiful.
Let me just do that skybox package real quick. So many different packages. Unity works through these Unity packages, and we're going to get to the Unity packages a little bit later. Yeah. This here, my friend, is what you were talking about was added in their 2D support.
Absolutely.
So this little drop down here used to not exist because Unity was always a 3D tool. So they've added these, and you can still mix 3D in a 2D game. Actually, a 2D game really is still a 3D game. You just happen to have your camera fixed.
Right.
And Carl's going to be covering 2D in our very next session. So let's go ahead and create this project. And every time you open a project or do a new project, Unity will close, come back in again. And that decompressing, if you saw right here, that's happening, that's because I checked off the skybox package, and it's just bringing in a bunch of sky images right now. We're going to close this little dialog here. And I'm going to go to my default layout, which everybody will see the first time you load Unity. You can always reset your layout. So in Visual Studio, every now and then, because I'm always clicking around pretty fast, moving windows around, it's inevitable I do this and I mess up my windows. Everybody does that at some point. You're like, okay, how do I get back to my interface?
Yeah.
You can just change them up here. Go to any layout you want and change them around.
Everyone has their preference. Do you prefer one visual style over another?
I typically use default, and then depending on the monitor I'm on, I will go switch over to 2x3. 2x3 is good because you can see this game tab, which we'll talk about shortly at the same time.
Yes.
So I'm going to start out in default here because that's what everybody, the first time they open it, will see. And in our interface here, this is where we are doing our scene design. This is a scene. And in a scene in Unity, you cannot see anything without a camera. Thankfully, in any new scene, if I do File, New Scene.
Looks like one's included for us.
One's always included there. And thank you, Unity, you also give me an audio listener. So you cannot see anything in a scene without a camera, which is there by default.
Yes.
And you can't hear anything without an ear, which happens to be an audio listener component.
This essentially serves as our starting point, our eyes and ears within the world.
Yep. So it's there. You don't have to worry about that. So this is our scene view here. Now, everything that's in our scene is over in this window here. This is our hierarchy window. And this happens to be pretty empty right now because we have just a single camera in our scene. So if I highlight that item, then we get the properties of it over here in the inspector window. And the inspector window shows some basic properties. We're going to talk about these game object properties coming up next.
Okay.
But all these other components get added.
Yeah, it looks like you have a bunch of different things there.
If I want to create a cube, for example, click away from it, click on it, I can see all of my cube's properties. Now, navigating in here, I highly recommend a three-button mouse. And you're like, well, what is a three-button mouse?
Oh, you find it's kind of difficult to do this on a laptop touch.
It's you can do the key commands like Control-Alt, or Shift-Alt-Right-Mouse-Click, and then zoom in on your trackpad, or you can pinch zoom. There are different commands that you can use on there.
Sounds like it'd be a bit of a keyboard ninja.
Yes. If you are very comfortable on the keyboard, you can do it. Sometimes when I don't have a mouse with me, I do it, but I highly recommend it's a two-button mouse with a clickable scroll wheel is what a three-button mouse is. All right, navigating around here, my scroll wheel zooms me in, zooms me out, and you'll find that most of the time that you spend in Unity, in the interface, doing your scene design here, is dragging and dropping objects in, moving things around, rotating around to see how they look, because 3D space is very confusing at first.
Mm-hmm.
It might look like this cube is sitting down on the earth, and yet when I go ahead and I rotate, if I move up here like this and rotate, I can see that that cube is actually pretty far above my ground there.
Yeah.
So it's going to take you a little bit. The first time you open Unity, you're going to be a little confused trying to navigate around and moving things around. Right-click to zoom around like that. Click your center mouse wheel to pan. Now, this equates also to the icons on the toolbar here.
Yes.
Pan is the same thing as clicking your scroll wheel. And these we're going to talk about shortly when we get to talking about game objects. Let's look at the next window down here, our project window. This is everything that is included in our project. So this roughly maps to what's on the file system here. If I right click on this and show an explorer, it will show me my Unity project here. Now, you might notice that the only folder that you see here happens to be the assets folder. That's because Unity's tracking these for other internal purposes, and I'll talk about those a little bit later on today. Don't mess with these folders. It's typically a bad idea unless you have a specific reason that you know what you're doing.
Right.
Virtually everything you can do in the Unity's interface here, if you need to drag in an image, you can just literally take it from Explorer. Let's assume this was an image, and I can just drag it into my project. Mm-hmm. So that works. Don't mess with the file system.
And also, it'll update things for you as well on the fly. So if you start adding new scripts, it'll quickly rebuild the project with the scripts in real time.
Absolutely. Because I brought in that skybox, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you something really cool. Just like that, because I brought in that package, if you recall, that was the skybox little package that I checked off here. Now, any of these packages, you don't have to bring them in now, so don't feel like you have to check those all off. You can always bring them in later through assets import package.
Perfect. Sometimes less is more.
Sometimes less is more because more is more in this case.
Overcomplicate your project, especially when starting off.
Yes, and if you're like me, I'm always running out of space on my system.
Yes.
So these will make your project size grow, and because it's media and files, your project can get pretty big pretty fast.
Yes.
Now, the coolest thing about Unity here is play mode. I click play, I'm gonna go from my scene view and it's gonna switch over to my game view here. So I'm playing my game. I can't do anything with here. I can't interact with it in any kind of way because there's no code to do that.
Right.
There's nothing telling Unity to interact with the scene. It's just a camera that's looking out at my scene. And I can do this in real time. So I'm playing my game right now, literally. You see this button's highlighted up? I'm playing my game. I can pause it and advance frame by frame.
Yes.
So if I need some real fine level physics testing, mm-hmm. maybe I need to see frame by frame when objects collide, I can literally just advance frames like that.
You know, something that caught me a few times at first was I would press play, but forget that I had it playing yes. in the background. Is there any way to let me know in a not so subtle way that I'm actually playing?
Absolutely. So every single Unity developer I have ever talked with, and I always call this the most important setting in Unity, has lost work in Unity because of this. So what David's talking about here is I'm playing, and I forget that I'm playing. I come back here, I'm like, all right, let's start designing my level some more. I think that is the best cube of all time. I want to duplicate it out a bunch.
That was a nice cube.
Very nice cube. In fact, it might be perfect. So I've added a bunch of these perfect cubes to my scene.
Okay.
Maybe I like sugar cubes in my sunny sky.
Kind of time consuming to start to add more and more things over here.
Now, when I get out of play mode here, watch what happens. All gone.
Where'd they go?
When that first happened to me, I thought, what is this buggy software? And then I realized, user error.
Yep.
All my fault. So what's happening here, play mode is a playground for you to test your game. So that's exactly what this is. You're playing it, you can test things out, duplicate it, whatever you want to do, tweak settings, see how it looks. When you're done, it goes back to the way it was. There is a plugin you can get from the Unity Asset Store that will actually apply those changes at runtime.
Ah, I need to look into this.
But let's do my favorite setting here. Edit Preferences, Colors, Play Mode Tints.
You notice how it's kind of in its own little setting by itself.
Yes. They should have a big box around this. And when you open this dialog, have like a neon sign pointing over here.
Yeah.
So open that up and choose. I used to do red. Now sometimes I'll change the color a little bit.
Something that's not blinding to the eyes.
And that might be blinding. We'll do orangish because we're coming up on Halloween and not that.
That's right. Goodness, it's pumpkin almost spice. Halloween.
When I play this now, see what happens to my interface? I get actually a very Halloween-y looking interface.
Yes.
We're going to have a Halloween influence theme for you later on today. When we go over 3D game creation, mm-hmm. there's a very Halloween themed game that we're going to create. I'll tell you the name of it ahead of time.
Okay.
Zombie Pumpkin Slayer.
I like where we're going with
ZPS.
This. ZPS. Zombies are the hot thing.
A year ago, we did Dino Burger, where okay. you shot a burger and killed a dinosaur, because that's why dinosaurs went extinct, if you didn't know that.
I assumed it had come down to them eating just poor burgers from time to time.
So we're going to do Zombie Pumpkin Slayer today. Yes, so this is going to be quite fun.
Okay.
I was talking about the Unity Asset Store here, so actually now is a good time to go over to
Absolutely.
This can be accessed through the web browser, or it can be accessed inside of Unity
yes.
through Window Asset Store. This interface always takes longer to load up.
It's going to kind of pull in all the background data, get the latest updates to the store, you know, what's hot and happening today.
Sometimes what I like to do is while that's loading, I just take that window and I dock it there just so it's always there for later.
Mm-hmm.
And that loads up. But typically my workflow is I go through the website. I like navigating this more.
Looks like a little more space to work with as well.
I might find, let's say I want a soldier character pack for Mixamo. Mixamo provides characters and animations in the asset store, as well as a couple other cool products. But you would say open in Unity. And it's going to say, hey, we need to launch this off into Unity. Do you want that? Certainly.
Perfect. Deep links right back into Unity. Now it looks like we're...
Import, because this is already on my system. Or if not, download and import.
Yes.
Bring it right in your project.
So it looks like it's basically a zip file containing all of the items that would be contained.
For the most part, it's a Unity package file, and we're going to look at that shortly, because Unity packages are pretty much everything when you're dealing with redistributable content in Unity.
Okay.
So that actually came into my, let's go back to my default view here, Soldier Character Pack.
There we go.
So just like that, I've got a soldier. This one was free. You can buy animations in Unity's asset store and apply it to them. If I want, maybe, let's go back here.
Looks like you can search by categories and everything. Type in a text field for what you want.
Because, again, Halloween is coming up.
Yeah.
Scary, scary zombies. If I need audio for my project, same thing. Now, for the folks that are learning Unity, one of the things that you want to be very aware of here is they have complete projects here. And that allows you to go in and pick it apart and see things in here.
Beautiful.
Now, in order to do that, though, you don't open a project folder. So for example, in Visual Studio, you open up a solution or you open up a C# project file or a vproj file. And here you actually import it into your project. Same exact thing that we just did with the soldier models.
Okay.
You do here. You would go into a project. You would say open in Unity. Okay. It loads it up in Unity's interface here. I reset my window layout. That's why it's undocked now.
Okay.
And once it loads up, you basically bring it into your current project.
Yes.
Once you bring it into your project, you have to look for the files. And so rather than downloading a whole nother one here, let me just save this scene first. We'll Control S. We'll call this main. I'm going to open a project I just had. This one was called demo, where I pulled in. Let's find my scenes. Remember I said the scene file icon?
Yeah.
Like the most important icon, I have to go in and look for that. I brought in one from the asset store called Destroy City Free.
Okay.
And in here, I can just search for my scene.
Ah, perfect.
I've got two scene files in here. I've got my main one here, which is just kind of an empty demo test scene.
Okay.
I've got Destroyed City. Let's go back to my default layout here.
Too.
So you can see this a little bit better.
Now, will you often create a folder specifically for scenes? I mean, what is your way of organizing your project?
I do. I'll have a separate folder down here just for scenes, for my scenes. And you'll find that a lot of packages you bring in from the asset store do things in their own kind of format.
Yes.
So this is Destroyed City. And then in there, they have a scenes folder. They have prefabs, which are typically the buildings and things you would place just like that.
Okay.
Place our own building in there. That's not really lined up.
But as long as the folder's inside the assets folder, Unity will be able to see it, correct?
Yep. Everything must be in the assets folder, your very top-level folder. Just like that, for free.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Lighting, environment.
And in this level, models. I can jump like a superhero.
Perfect.
So just like that. Pretty neat, huh?
Absolutely. So now if I've downloaded some of these projects or scenes before, assets, how can I go back and get them again? Is there a bit of the interface that I can find them?
Excellent question. So going back into the asset store, and then we wait for this one to load up again. I should have docked it and kept it there.
Well, the store is pretty large in all fairness. Quite a few good things to find in there.
I heard, I'm not sure if it's true or not, that they might be rewriting this little interface here.
Hmm.
So maybe the speed will be the same as the website.
Time is of the essence.
Time is of the essence.
Okay. Oh,
all right.
There we go.
That's so the asset store interface is here, right? We just covered that. If you want to see the packages you already own, you go to this guy right here. And here are all the ones that I've bought over time.
Perfect.
Caution, the asset store is like, if you're familiar with the shopping channel, QVC or...
Yes, of course.
Any of the... So they always have really cool specials in there, and they are real specials like this. 24-hour... deals, $75 in 24 hours, this will be back to 150. So when I see these, I was like, ooh, I've got to buy them.
Yeah, I'm equally as guilty.
Hence my asset list kind of grows and grows and grows.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about next, game objects and components in your scene.
Okay.
Game objects are everything. Everything. Virtually everything that's in a scene is a game object. So whether you're talking about lights, particle systems, those 3D models we brought in, heads-up displays, everything is a game object. If you are a .NET developer, think about system.object in .NET.
It's really
.NET.
Like the most base level thing we can get down to.
Yep. In .NET, virtually everything, not everything, but near everything inherits from system.object. You can kind of think of that same concept in Unity as a game object. It's simply a name tag and transform, and I'll show you those properties inside of Unity.
Okay.
And the transform is very, 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 very important.
Yes.
Now, on game objects, we have components. And that's what makes things happen. Because a game object itself is a simple object. Name, tag, and a transform.
Right. It's basically a container for everything.
It's a container, right. It's an empty location in space. Game objects come to life by having components added to them.
Okay.
And that includes a whole variety of different components. And your own custom components as well you can develop. Mesh renderers, sprite renderers. If you want to do audio in your scene, that's also a component, an audio source component. Your camera comes to life by being a component. Everything is from components. This is actually a guy from something that we're working on here called the Reaper Wraith. This complex 3D object, if you look at him here on the inspector, he's got an animator, a capsule collider, rigid body. He's got some scripts on there, things for navigation. So everything comes to life through these components. So let's look at what a game object is, what some components on it are, and hopefully that'll kind of fit together a little bit more here.
Okay.
Let's go back to Unity. And I'm going to create a new scene here, because remember, we can have many, many scenes in our project.
Like you said before, scenes are the equivalent of levels.
Scenes are the equivalent of levels. Some folks actually have multiple levels built into one scene.
Right.
You can do that. I typically break them apart by one scene equals one level.
Yes.
My title screen will be one scene. Level one is a scene. Level two is a scene.
Yep.
Typically named like that, too. So here I'm back to an empty scene. On the game object menu, I'm going to create an empty one. So I have an empty game object. Notice right here these properties. On my inspector, I have a name, a tag, which is just some text to assign to the object.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be saying, Adam, why would I assign text to an object?
Yeah, why would I? It sounds like I'm overcomplicating things right now.
Because typically in Unity, when you ask the system to find another object,
yes.
Maybe you're a zombie looking for the main player. You typically don't ask for an object by name. You can. You can say gameObject.find and give it a name of an object.
Sounds like it might be kind of expensive if I have a lot of things in my scene.
It's expensive, and some scenes have thousands of objects.
Yeah.
So searching by, and also game names can change. So if you're trying to do gameObject.find on a name,
yeah.
If you have a cloned zombie, maybe you're creating at runtime multiple instances,
okay.
His name is no longer zombie. It's zombie parenthesis clone.
Ah, so it sounds like they're like doing that and incrementing numbers perhaps as well.
So it's, you don't want to do it by name.
Right.
Unless you know that name won't change.
Yep.
So the other thing is here, using a tag. You can add your own tags. Unity gives you a few built-in ones if I want to add my own. I say it's an array, so I have to kind of size it out here. This could be zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I want to find my gravestone, as we might be doing. Gravestone, as we might be doing later on today. When I go back to that game object, or any game object, I now can see that that's there.
Okay.
So game object, we have name, tag, a layer. And a transform. Transform is basically the most important property inside of Unity.
This I would agree.
Where your position is, so notice as I'm moving this guy around, my position's updating. The rotation of this and its scale. Now, these equate to these buttons on the toolbar here. So this is position. This little widget here, I'm moving my position by that icon.
Mm-hmm.
And notice I can click on the center here and move it around, approximating 3D space, because I'm working in 2D space, but it's approximating 3D space.
Yeah.
Or I can do it by direction, by clicking on the arrow tip. And this is what I do 99% of the time. I use the arrow tips to kind of just really gently place my objects where I want them here.
Yeah.
This one here is rotate, and now it turns into, we get these spherical lines here that we can click on a line and rotate a game object.
Okay.
And then this last one is scale, if we want to scale it out. So if I create, let's go back and create a cube, which is a game object.
Looks like you can scale on each axis as well.
There we go. Like that, scale it out there, or I can just then scale it. Now, caution, scaling at runtime can be an expensive operation. Sometimes you need to do it, but typically you want to make sure your assets are scaled coming into this.
Okay.
All right, so now our components here are what brings us to life. This is an empty game object. Notice we have these properties right here. Every other component will have, every other game object will have these same game object properties.
Okay.
Plus a bunch of components added to it here. So my camera has a camera component, GUI layer, audio listener, flare layer. My cube has a box collider. We'll talk about that in very, very shortly.
It's like you're adding more functionality here as we're going
adding more functionality. If you're a developer, have you ever heard of the decorator pattern where things kind of add on?
Yes.
Similar, although this is kind of a visual aspect of it. If I want to add code on here, we'll look at that very shortly. We're going to use these components as well, too. So, and again, save early, save often. Control S or file, save scene. Say we want to call this, after I get my caps lock off, level one. Okay. Next, let's talk about prefabs and packages. This is how we reuse things inside of Unity.
Absolutely.
In the Unity interface, we can have we can create our zombie.
Okay.
If we want that zombie to go outside of our game, and we want to use it in multiple levels, we have to create it in some redistributable way.
Right.
We might have downloaded it from the asset store. In that case, it's already in a distributable package.
Okay.
But we're going to show you how to create those right now.
Okay.
Ready?
So reuse is essentially what we're trying to sell here.
Reuse. Prefabs allow reuse across your scenes, also within your scenes. So you might have that zombie you want to duplicate a bunch of times within your scene. The advantage of using a prefab is if you update that root prefab, everything else that was formed from that prefab gets updated.
Perfect. So make a change to perhaps its speed or its health size.
Affect all. As long as you click that prefab object, everything else gets updated.
Perfect.
And now Unity packages is a separate concept. That's actually a .unity package file as opposed to a .prefab file. When you download something from the asset store, it actually gets cached on your system locally in a folder as a .unity package file. You can click on them. I have a whole folder room that I use for reuse on my project. You double click on them and it imports in Unity.
Sounds like it's going to save you a lot of time.
Tons of time. Tons of time. So let's look at a quick demo of prefabs and packages.
Perfect.
Let's open this old city again here.
Okay.
Because this would be a good example of how you'll find some content gets distributed to you. Let me zoom back here a little bit more.
Yeah.
So if I look in the destroyed city, here's a prefab folder. And if I click on this, notice it says something.prefab here. I click on that prefab, drag it into my scene. So I can now reuse it. Let's just say on this building, maybe I want the sound of wind coming from just this building, or all my buildings, some audio source. I can add an audio source here.
Right.
Now, I added it here, not to my prefab down here. I added it in my scene. So there's two ways this workflow can go. If I look at my scene's prefab right now, it doesn't show my audio component.
Right.
So I can actually push from my scene back down to this guy, which in turn will update all of my other buildings here.
Okay.
So if I click on another building, there's no audio component. If I click on this building, it's right there. So let me click on apply. It's now pushing it down here, and it should have pushed it back out to every other one that stems from it.
So as your character gets closer to these buildings, can start to hear the sound effect and noise coming out of it.
Yep. So now as I click all these other buildings, notice there's an audio source on them.
Yeah, you must have 20 or 30 buildings in there, so it sounds like it saved you a lot of time.
Absolutely. Especially when you realize you made a mistake and you need to correct it. So let's create really a simple one so you can see. We'll do a new scene. Don't save that. I'm going to create, let's do a cube and an empty game object. Let's duplicate that cube a couple times. Move this guy over. We've got two cubes. I'm going to rename this game object to awesome, can't type today, awesome cubes.
Okay, so game object is the default name for any of these.
Game object is the default name. You got it. So I can take these cubes and I can do one thing called parent them, so I can drag them into here.
Okay.
They become a child of that. Now that means that any time that I basically move this parent object, the children follow. You see them both there kind of following with it?
Mm-hmm.
Now I say these are the best cubes of all time. I want to reuse these all over the place.
So very fine color.
Very, very fine cubes. So if I take these cubes and I click on them, notice they're white or kind of this grayish color. We'll call it white text. If I click on them and drag them down, let me create a folder here called prefabs, just so we can be a little more organized. Create folder, prefabs. Go into that folder, and now let's take this guy right here from my hierarchy.
Okay.
And just simply drag it down. I'm going to drag it down here, drop it. Notice his color turns blue. That's telling you this is a prefab. This has a shared instance somewhere. Awesomecubes.prefab. Now I can drag this awesomecubes.prefab all over my scene.
Yeah. Looks like they even took a little snapshot for you too.
Kind of see these little guys here. If I expand that, I can see these children that they contain. Okay. Maybe on one of those cubes, I want to add, just like we did before, an audio source. So I added just an audio source to this guy here, not in my scene yet, but look what's already happened. You see these little speaker icons?
Yeah.
All of them now have that audio source on them. Audio source.
So it looks like you have the option of editing all of the prefabs, or if you want, just one at a time.
Yep, absolutely. Now if I want just this one here to have, audio cords, let's actually do a rigid body, because we'll be looking at that next. If I do a rigid body on this one, because I did it in my scene here, it's not going to apply to anything else, which is exactly what I want. I just want this one to have it, nothing else. So the rest of them don't have them, just this one. If I want the rest of them to have them, click on apply, it gets pushed down to this guy, and then back into my scene, so all the rest of them should now have the rigid body component, and they do.
Looks good.
Very, very easy. All right. So architecture on Unity is something I think everybody needs to understand, how this fits together. Inside of Unity, we have a couple major components. We have the editor. We have MonoDevelop, which is the built-in code editor. It's a cross-platform code editor. It's not made by Unity. It's another third-party company.
Yes.
And that's used. You can actually download that and play with that as a whole separate product. And it has a game engine built into it. In the editors we saw, we can test right inside of there. You can extend it through scripts. It's a very powerful way of developing your game. The project structure, we looked at the folder on disk very briefly. In there we have the assets. That's always a top-level folder you see in Unity.
Okay.
Everything you bring in your project goes in there or a subfolder thereof.
Seems simple enough.
Yep. Now all the other folders, library, project settings, and temp, that's for stuff that Unity does. If you don't know exactly what's in there, don't mess with it.
Right, probably best to leave it alone.
I list there on the screen if you're interested in knowing what Unity does with that, but it is best to leave them alone.
Okay.
Compilation. Well, we're running code, so something has to get compiled.
Right.
We're doing objects who can have code on them, so behind the scenes, something happens. Mono is always used in Unity to compile your scripts. Now, compilation in Unity might be different than your final build.
Okay.
So Unity is using Mono. Maybe if you're going to Windows Store, your final compilation will be actually .NET.
Right.
So just know that Mono is what's used to compile the scripts. Unity licensed a version of Mono, and so that's what they maintain and use for the editor.
Okay.
You export a Visual Studio project, like I said, for something like Windows Store, that could be generated by .NET. If you're doing a desktop build, it could be generated by Mono. So there's different ways that can be used inside of Unity.
Okay.
Compilation varies per platform.
Yes.
Multiple levels of compilation. In the editor, mono, as I mentioned.
Seems simple enough.
When you then export your project from Unity, as Jason will show you guys later on today, how to bring your game to to Windows, those game assemblies are then generated by different, it's either Mono or .NET, varying cases.
Okay.
Then in turn, let's say you compile your Visual Studio project, or if it's a Windows standalone build, Unity will actually compile that for you. And that's generated then by potentially another one. So there's different passes that happen here.
Okay.
Sometimes it's important to understand which, because there are different API. Windows Store supports a different API
right.
than, say, desktop builds.
So it sounds like some pretty low-level stuff, but do you think it's worth very beginners to spend time on this, or is this kind of once they get further down the road, maybe they investigate some time?
It's good to spend time when you do your first build, because
yes.
that's typically when you're going to get bit by it. Oh, speaking of build and compiling everything in code, let's talk about code.
Okay.
Game loops are per game objects. So in Unity, you have this concept, and actually in game development, of mm-hmm. a game loop. That's where everything happens. The C# that's supported, since we're going to talk about C# today in Unity, supports pretty much most of all the major constructs you'd be used to in developing with C#.
Okay.
You can do link, lambdas, anonymous methods, events, etc. do you have to code? Some folks watching today might not be coders.
Right.
I definitely recommend. I think it's great for everybody to learn code, but not yes. everybody codes. You don't have to. There are other third-party plugins for the Asset Store. Playmaker, Behave, Rain AI is a free one.
Yep.
So Playmaker and Behave are paid products. And they're kind of visual scripting trees, so you don't have to code to be able to use them.
Right. And I think it's one of the big selling points for Unity itself is that it's not as intimidating to a lot of developers out there because it's so appealing to artists and designers as a whole.
Yes, absolutely. Unity has two physics engines that they use. One, they've licensed the physics engine from NVIDIA, which is used by a bunch of companies. So is it any good? Well, Unreal's using it, Unity's using it, GameReo Vision, et cetera. There's a whole bunch of folks using it.
That's right.
And a lot of folks today may have heard of Box 2D.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've all heard of it going into before we even knew about what was going on with Unity, actually. And that is used for the 2D engine inside of Unity, and a bunch of other companies are using that as well. And 2D physics are typically faster than 3D because you are...
One less plane to calculate.
One less plane to calculate, you got it. All right, so let's look real quick at coding, physics, and particles. And actually, as we go to Unity here, I do realize there was one quick thing that I left out last time.
Okay.
I mentioned I would also talk about exporting packages. You've created your prefab. You realize this is awesome. You want to reuse it or sell it or give it to someone else. You just simply right-click and export package.
Okay.
There you go. This will export package into a .unity package file. We'll put it on my desktop where everything goes. Call awesome.
And now people can use this in their other projects as well.
Now you can use it in your other projects. You can just double click on it. It will import right in your project.
Perfect.
First, I already have it in this project, so we don't see anything. For this code demo, we're going to, we've got all sorts of cool options here. We're going to do this guy here. So code in Unity. Let's create a new scene again.
Okay.
Call that level 2 for the last one.
Simple enough. I like it.
We're going to create another cube. It's a real easy base primitive to work with. If I want to create code in here, I like to create a new folder, and I call that folder scripts.
I do the same thing.
You don't have to. You can drop it like I did here.
But it's good to stay organized.
Good to stay organized. Right click, create, JavaScript, C sharp, boo. Let's go ahead and create C sharp. We'll call this my debug demo.
Okay. I always like that you can see the code itself on the right-hand side, too. Very appealing. This way you can quickly glance at what you're doing.
Now, we could use MonoDevelop here,
yes.
But since we have made Unity VS for free, I've installed it on the system. That
Perfect.
Shows right here you have to import it into every project. So Visual Studio Tools.
It's a package like anything else.
Import it in. It's going to create a folder down there. Unity VS, we're good to go. Double-click on this guy. Now this code, as of right now, is not going to be doing anything. What we're going to do, Unity gives us two methods. Start, for when this particular object, whatever this code is assigned to when it initializes, debug.log starting.
Okay.
And over here, we've got something called update. This runs every single frame. So that how often is that? Depends on how fast your game is running. It could be 60 frames a second, 200, 30, just all depends. This changes all the time.
Absolutely.
And what we're going to do here, since I mentioned that transform is probably the most important property,
right.
We can just reference it from whatever this code is assigned to.
Okay.
You'll notice this inherits from mono behavior, and that basically allows you to integrate with these game objects. So let's use this code. Right now, it's not being used at all.
And you can see right away, it's updated on the imported object on the right-hand side.
You got it. As soon as I switch back to Unity, it detects a code change, does a background compilation with mono.
Yes.
So I'm going to drag this script onto my cube. As soon as I do that, I can see it's just another component here.
Perfect.
This tells me this code is going to be run on this object. I click on play. I can see it moving.
Yes.
Every frame it's actually being called. And let's go to my console, which is kind of like your debug output window, and I can see starting. Got called once there.
Okay. So we know that function was executed, that start function.
And so this little guy here, transform.translate, this is saying, we want to move our transform. And we could actually do, if we look transform.position, we can see our .x, our .y, our .z. And that represents where we are in the world. We saw that as we move an object around, it updates these. So when I say transform.position.x, it's giving me that. Transform.position.y is giving me that. Every single frame here, I'm coming over here and just simply saying, I want you to move forward. This is a predefined vector, it's called. We'll talk about vectors a little bit in our 3D. And this is saying, hey, every frame, we're just going to advance this by a little bit in the forward direction. Forward, in this case, is wherever the object is currently pointing. So if I come in and I rotate this object here, notice it's forward. There is a world forward, which is always the same direction.
Yes.
This is the local forward. And that's why we actually use this translate call. We're saying, hey, go to whatever's forward for this current object.
Okay.
It's forward as opposed to our world forward. So we have two different, actually several different coordinate systems here. We have our world space and we have our local space.
Yes.
And we can say move forward in world space or move forward in local space, which is what we're telling it right here.
But relevant to that actual character or object.
Debug.log updating.
Log is your friend because it'll constantly keep you informed of what's going on behind the scenes for your project.
And let's do this. Set a breakpoint. I'm going to say attach to Unity. Build. Go back over to Unity. Give it 1 second here. It's doing this background attach. Wait for it. Are you waiting for it?
I'm waiting. I am very patient. There we go. Looking for Unity. We found it.
Connect to Unity. And looks like at this point in time, it's having a problem connecting. Of course, the demo gremlins came down from the cameras right into my system. That's okay. So what we will do here is we will... Everybody's seen this before?
That's our task manager, so we can see how our machine is utilizing different parts of our project or our assets at once.
So I closed Unity out. It happens on occasion. It's I would call it more rare, but always save your work, save early, save often.
Actually, we'll have an entire course on this very shortly in the agenda.
Absolutely. So what I want to just show you was how we had attached code to any kind of game object. We can just literally take it, drag it on up, and that code runs for it.
Yes.
Second last thing we'll talk about real quick, physics.
Okay.
We're going to go into this more depth in our 3D course, and then we'll cover particles. So physics, real easy to show. We'll take a game object here. Actually, I think we added a rigid body here. So our game object, we did a cube. On that cube, we added a rigid body component. What is a rigid body? If anybody remembers from high school physics, this is what's giving your object mass.
Okay.
And it's allowing it to understand gravity by default.
Okay.
If I click on play right now, this guy's falling.
Look at him go, all of them.
All of them. They all have that because I added that to that prefab before. Now, they don't understand collisions yet. So if we want to add a collider onto there, we simply, it's actually a box, collider's already on our cube, but we can add colliders. And I think Carl's going to cover that in 2D next, and I'm definitely going to cover colliders when we go over the next session.
We don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
And lastly here, let's go ahead and create a particle system. Just like that, notice these are coming out like wireframes because I have my mode there to textured wire.
Ah, there we go.
Look at that. Just like that, we've got a particle system coming out. I can say my start size. Maybe I want more smoky effect, make them bigger.
Yeah, look at all the variables it exposes to you and how
Let's
easy that is.
50. There we go. We want smoke, you got smoke. You want small particles like that, perfect.
You
can apply so many different parameters here.
Rotation, speed, color over time.
You got it. I mean, you can do so many things in there. What people do with the particle effects, amazing.
Yes.
There's a great tutorial on Unity site, like an explosion. One particle effect creates a ring. Another one creates an explosion effect out of it, so you can overlap the two of them together and do some really, really neat effects.
It's really part of juicing or increasing the quality of your game, having something as simple as that.
Absolutely. That brings us to the end of this fine session. We talked about intro to Unity, the architecture on there, how we can just simply add code onto it. Now, granted, our code example was pretty simple to hear. We don't want to start out too strong with the
code on there. One step at a time.
One step at a time. Carl's going to cover it more. I'm going to cover it more. So we're going to definitely look at these concepts a little bit more in depth as we get into actual game development as we go on.
Okay.
Talked about game objects. Everything in your scene is basically a game object.
Yep.
Near everything.
The asset store.
Asset store. Components, because components are what brings your game objects to life. And are you excited for what's coming next?
Absolutely. We've got two more days of this, today, tomorrow, and I believe on Thursday we will have other guests in here.
Yes. Now, I want to mention that this module is currently being recorded, and it will be available in about 2 to 3 weeks on Virtual Academy if you want to rewatch it then as well, which I highly recommend.
Absolutely.
the entire course, everything you see here today and tomorrow. Thank you very much.